This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
20-year final. Jake Moody drilled a field goal at the buzzer to give the 49ers a much-needed win in Tampa Bay. They needed that victory. But, Sterling, here we go. We're sitting here for what feels like the fifth time. The Niners won five games for the fifth time this year, going, all right, they won, but maybe a little more difficult than it needed to be.
This was the most brutal victory of the season, and they've lost so many tough games. I was sitting back saying, we've seen this kind of game how many times this season? That last drive for the Buccaneers, for that defense to have that many penalties, for Baker Mayfield to carry Nick Bosa, stiff-arm him for 5 yards, complete that pass. Baker Mayfield's a dog, and the Niners should have won this game by 12 points, and they just couldn't get out of their own way, which continues to be, even with Christian McCaffrey back and post-bye week, a massive problem for this team. But thankfully, it seems like for the first time this year, the football god said, you know what? We'll give you a break and we'll all take it.
Yeah, about time, right? Yeah. There were special teams mistakes. Jake Moody misses the three field goals. The red zone issues cropped back up. But once again, the 49ers in a game, I say once again, for what feels like the first time this season, made the plays they needed to make down the stretch. Their offense came alive with a couple of big plays that they needed in the second half, particularly there on that final drive. Because after the Bucs kicked the game-tying field goal, I'm sitting here going, okay, this is going to overtime. Yep. It was hard to feel really good about the Niners' ability to drive down quickly, then get in field goal range, and then have Jake Moody make the kick. But all of those things fell into place, and you mentioned the defense on that last drive, having four penalties. Not great, but at the same time, they stiffened up when they needed to, and they came up with a couple of big stops. I thought the pressure on Mayfield was awesome on that last drive. They just couldn't get home and couldn't get him on the ground. So I overall, they needed this win. They needed to get to 5-4. They needed to push the Bucs, who were also in the wild card race, to 4-6. So it's hard to complain about how they went about winning the game. But at the same time, if you're zooming out to go 30,000 feet, and you're going, okay, what is this team moving forward? Are they in Super Bowl contention? Like this game this year post bye is such a far cry from last year post bye, when they came out and they beat the heck out of the Jacksonville Jaguars 34-3 in Jacksonville, and you're going, all right, that is the 49ers after that three-game losing streak going into the bye. This looked like the first half of the year. It looked like nothing changed. And Christian McCaffrey was back, which is great, but nothing looked significantly different to me in that game.
It's about the optics, right? Yeah, you won. You got the outcome you needed. You seemingly go a game up, I guess, in the NFC West. You push down the Buccaneers another game, and you get the win. But there was infighting on the sidelines. It was ugly. It was penalties. Thankfully, there wasn't many turnovers outside of that one fumbled punt. But really, the Niners today dodged a bullet. The Buccaneers didn't have Mike Evans, didn't have Chris Godwin, didn't have Tristan Wirfs, who got hurt in this game, didn't have Tyke Smith, and yet somehow the Niners continue to play down to their opponents. And you gotta give the Bucs credit. They fought and they fought and they fought the entirety of the game, backs against the wall, at home. They're beaten, they're broken, they're bruised. San Francisco's healthy, off the bye week, got Juwan Jennings back, Debo Samuel seemingly fully healthy, maybe not entirely. Christian McCaffrey's back, reigning offensive player of the year. The defense is relatively healthy off the bye week. You're feeling pretty good. Like, this is a game for San Francisco to score 30-plus points against a really bad Buccaneers defense that was in overtime 6 days ago against the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, and yet somehow you're squeaking out victories. I know they got the win. That's the most important thing. But it's the optics, right? It's the zooming out, like you said, Kyle. This game looks nothing. It was supposed to be different. It looks exactly like week 3 against the Rams, week 4 against the Cardinals. It looks exactly like this team didn't have a bye week, didn't have Christian McCaffrey back, and was still banged up 2 weeks ago. This is a team that continues to get in their own way for sure, but also, they're making critical mistakes in pivotal areas, missing 3 kicks.
Brutal.
I mean, I get it. Third round pick, Jake Moody, that pick was criticized when it happened, and my goodness, 2 years later, or a year and a half later, whatever it is now, that pick looks like a disaster. Anders Carlson back. Matthew Wright, can you get off IR right now? Because my goodness, this kid's costing us 10 points a game. San Francisco should have had 30 had it not been for Jake Moody.
Yeah, that's what, and look, this is where we were talking about that here in the studio, and if you want to jump in, please do. 888-957-9570. 49ers get a much-needed win, but it was a little bit shaky. How you feeling, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. Tap in with me. I'm Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett rocking alongside me. We're going to take you right up to 3 o'clock where Mark Grandy will have you for Warriors Live, but this is where it's tough because Moody drills the game winner. He hit the biggest kick of the game, and you're right, yeah. He cost him 9 points. Misses 2 to the left, pushed 1 to the right. Like, you don't love to see that, but we saw that with him last year in preseason. He missed a couple to the left, missed 1 to the right. And it was like, man, is this going to be a problem all year? But then he got recalibrated and he made his kicks. The fact that he made the game winner, to me, means the 49ers are going to stick with him. They're going to go, okay, he's been out a few weeks. He had the high ankle sprain on his right leg. They're just going to keep rolling him out there. And the fact that, honestly, I think the fact they rolled him out there for the game winner is every vote of confidence that Kyle Shanahan needed to give. So I think sitting here going, oh, they got to get rid of Jake Moody. Are they going to do this? Like, yeah, it's definitely a conversation, but I don't think the 49ers are going to do it. He hit the big one.
Which is so frustrating, right? Because so they fire Steve Wilkes, they won't fire Brian Schneider. They trade Trey Lance away 2 years after he was the 3rd overall pick to the Dallas Cowboys for a 4th rounder, after they invest and waste 3 first round picks for him, but they won't get rid of Jake Moody, who has been a liability for 2 years. And I get it, you know, it's a couple games here or there. Last year, towards the end of the season, he seemingly kind of found his footing, and you thought, okay, year 2 he'll be better. But when you're talking about a team this year, that the offense has not been great. They still can't score in the red zone, my goodness, even with Christian McCaffrey back. Shanahan's offensive play calling, not running the football on 1st and 2nd down. Tom Brady's calling them out in the broadcast booth almost every single time they're down there. Just discombobulated. There's like this weird like glitch in the system still for the San Francisco 49ers offense. That's when you're not playing well offensively, guess what you need? A kicker. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. Well, they've been terrible on offense for 5 years. Chris Boswell has been their MVP, saving them year after year. There's a reason Mike Tomlin has yet to have a losing season. His name is Chris Boswell, hitting game-winning kicks against Baltimore and Cleveland and the Bengals. The Niners need that if their offense isn't going to be full systems go, and I get it, it's CMC's first game back.
Yeah.
But you talk about a team that with the expectations they had, and maybe it's more of an issue with the fans saying, oh, CMC's back, things are going to be different. Maybe that's a little too, you know, give it time, it'll eventually turn its head. But we're 10 weeks into the NFL season. They're not going to turn things up. This is who they are.
Exactly.
You got to have a kicker to get you a free 3 points here or there. That's the difference in games like this.
Yeah, you said it. This is just kind of who they're going to be. Can they win a Super Bowl this way? I don't think so. Is there improvement to come with Christian McCaffrey and getting acclimated? He had 19 touches today. McCaffrey did 13 carries for 39 yards. He also added 6 catches for 68 yards. I think that impact in the passing game was kind of what everybody was waiting to see. But as far as McCaffrey goes and as far as the red zone stuff goes, this is a well-coached, Buccaneers team that was selling out just to stop the run. I thought the 49ers' problems offensively today was that Brock Purdy was not sharp, especially early in the game. He made a couple of really nice throws, especially at the end. The throw down the sideline to McCaffrey, the kind of blind throw into the
fadeaway back foot, just threw it up and said, "Go get it."
reminded me of the touchdown throw to George Kittle last year. Same side of the field, same type of route, where he knows there's no safety over there. He knows that his guy is going to be the only one who can run under that. Loved that throw, loved the touchdown to Kittle, but there were some throws early on where you saw the Bucs stacking the box. They run a ton of eight-man boxes, and you saw them stacking the box trying to stop the run. And I thought early in the game the 49ers were trying to take advantage of that with Purdy, and he just didn't make enough throws. Yeah. So that was, I thought, the bigger issue today than the play calling. What did you think of McCaffrey's usage?
I liked it. It was under 20 touches. Now it's 19. It's one touch difference. Who knows? You know, whatever. But there was a lot of kind of different reports out there. He's on a pitch count. They want to get him under 20. And you really didn't know what he was going to do. I was surprised we didn't see more Jordan Mason today. I don't know if the shoulder's still bothering him. We saw Isaac Garendo in the red zone today. That shocked me for sure. But I like CMC's usage. He seemingly is healthy coming out of the game. He didn't seem to want to come off many times when he was supposed to. So that's good to see. You know, he's a competitor out there, and I didn't mind it. But to your point about Brock Purdy,
sure.
I think one of the frustrating things this year with San Francisco, and mainly in this game, while they won 3 points, sweat off the brow, they've needed, because they can't execute, you know, on first and second down, wherever they're at on their drive, they have to have these amazing clutch plays. Brock Purdy fadeaways, Brock Purdy jump throws, Brock Purdy in the red zone scrambling to extend plays, hitting George Kittle on a tiptoe in the back of the end zone, because they're not executing on the normal first and second downs.
Yep.
They're having to have these Superman, superhero kind of plays where those are great. You'll take those all the time. But because they're getting behind the sticks continually, and Brock Purdy today in that first half was throwing behind guys, throwing high to guys. I know he had the big touchdown pass to Ricky Pearsall, his first career touchdown, which is great for Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
But a lot of the offensive inconsistencies in this one, in the first half especially, was because of Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the bye week rust, and it was hot out there. I don't know why, but you think Tampa Bay, Florida, it's warm out there. It feels like a good environment to throw the football around.
Yep.
And for Brock, it was like, we've seen you struggle in rain. This is the exact opposite of that. So what's the excuse today?
Mm-hmm.
You're throwing behind guys. Your timing's off. Like, Debo's not involved in the offense. It's a Juwan and Pearsall thing. So Brock Purdy, to me, really hindered this offense in that first half.
Yeah, he did. The playmaking came out a little bit in the second half. They started to get Debo Samuel a little more involved. I overall, offensively, today, I was a little bit disappointed, but the other thing is McCaffrey's first game back, and you can see, we talked about this a little bit before, but he just moves different than Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
Like, the running game just looks more fluid with Christian McCaffrey back there, so I'm really interested to see what it looks like against a run defense that maybe is not as stout as Tampa Bay's is capable of being, and I'm interested to see what this looks like going forward. But I also don't think that 13 carries for Christian McCaffrey is what the 49ers are looking to do moving forward. I think they're going to want to run it more than what they get, 22 carries today. That's a number that they want to go over on a game in, game out basis. I think it just wasn't there today. And to your point, Brock Purdy did not was not great early on. But then you go look at his stat line, and Tom Brady said it during the game. It's the sneakiest 300-yard game of all time. If you did not show me stats, I would have been like, I don't know, Brock maybe had 250 today. It just didn't look great. But then you go look at 25 of 36 for 253, two touchdowns, no interceptions. That's a pretty good game for a guy who didn't play well.
You probably got about 25 points of fantasy today if you started Brock Purdy.
Yeah, you're feeling good about it.
Right, like, I'm probably going to win this week. But, yeah. I mean, it just felt like, we've talked about this over and over again this year, that every yard feels like they're fighting tooth and nail to gain.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had no problem getting to the red zone. Today, had no problem getting to the red zone. But you just watch them. It is almost like someone unplugs the system as soon as you get inside the 20.
Yes.
And for Brock today, not even in the red zone in particular, but in that first half, people were saying, oh, he looks terrible. I didn't think he looked terrible, but there were just so many throws he left out there that put this team behind the sticks. What, they have like 13 points or 10 points going into halftime.
10.
It's not where you want to be. The Bucks could not move the football offensively in the first half. This defense came to play in that first half. They were stuffing the run. They couldn't move the football with Baker playing quarterback. It looked like they didn't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
And they continually, the offense could not put points up. And credit goes to the Buccaneers defense, but I'm sorry. When you have George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Christian McCaffrey's back, although maybe limited in certain aspects, you have Jordan Mason, who walked into this week still the NFL's fourth leading rusher. Maybe he's a little banged up here or there, but you're off the bye week. This should be a game where we talked about self-scouting, getting back to the basics and figuring things out. This team looks still stuck in the mud. And unfortunately for Niner fans, they won. They're 5-4. You're feeling maybe okay after this one, but I put on Twitter, do you actually have faith this offense can answer and score some points? And it was a collective no. And that's the exact opposite of where they were last year. Whereas every drive, the expectation was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Now it's like, can they even get a field goal?
Yeah.
That's a scary place to be for a team trying to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, man. And they don't have the defense that they've had in years past.
Yeah.
Where you feel okay about it if the offense isn't clicking on all cylinders. Like, they've got they've got a lot to figure out. Let's head to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is Overtime. We're hanging out with you, taking you right up to Warriors Live at 3 o'clock. So make sure to stay locked in here to 95.7 The Game. Warriors tonight, of course. But we've got a Niner game to get through first. Jeff in Rhode Island. I think he's on the same page as us here, Sterling. Jeff, what do you got for us?
Hey guys, how's it going? Yeah, another game to sweat out with this team. And my problem is, we come off a bye. We have Christian coming back. We have Jennings coming back. I'm thinking this team is going to be fired up. You know, 30 plus points. They're going to, you know, make a statement. And the other thing is, they made a statement. The same thing they do every week. You know, penalties. Special teams, and I'm looking at this team, and I'm like 5-4, and I'm like, this team really isn't a competitive team. It's certainly not a playoff team. And looking on who they've got coming up, I mean, how can we feel good about seeing them play the Bills, Detroit, Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona? I mean, I just don't have a good feeling going forward. And I was wondering, like, what do we have to do? And get your thoughts on it.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call. I would push back a little bit on them not being competitive. They're competitive.
Yeah.
They're just not competitive at the level, and I think this is what Jeff is getting at, they're just not competitive at the level we're used to seeing them be competitive at. If last year's 49ers team beats this version of the Buccaneers by 4 touchdowns, is there any doubt about that?
No.
Right. And that's I think, what we're all kind of grappling with is, this is a team that largely kept last year's group together. They went to the Super Bowl. They were the number one seed and pretty dominant for most of the season, save for that little 3-game losing streak in the middle of the year. They were an overtime away from winning the Super Bowl. They were a play or two away from winning the Super Bowl, I should say.
Yeah.
And now this year, they're a pretty middle-of-the-road, like, playoff contender. And that's really disappointing. Like, for a lot of teams, if that's where the Chicago Bears were, the Bears would be like, hell yeah, great season.
Yeah.
But when your expectation going to the year is Super Bowl, a game like this one is not, whew, way to gut out a win. It's like, that's it. Like, I thought
right.
The 49ers were going to, and I pretty rarely think this. I am not the 49ers are going to win every game by 10 touchdowns person.
Right.
I went into today thinking that they were going to beat the brakes off the Buccaneers.
As you should have.
Yeah. Coming off the bye week, the Bucs on short rest, the Niners have gotten a chance to collect themselves. They got all these guys coming back healthy. It's like, okay, now the real season can start. And that was, this is my fault. I was pre-planning the show. I'm going, all right, we can talk about how the real season started today, and this is what this team is built for, blah, blah, blah.
Second
like,
half run.
Right, it just, and maybe they make a second half run. That's the important thing here. Maybe they do. Maybe this maybe this is a little wake-up call. Like, okay, hey, we're back, but we got to play better, da-da-da. And keep in mind, this Bucks team also took the Chiefs to overtime last week.
Yeah.
So they don't stink, but I think we expected more from the 49ers coming into today. And it's just really hard after how they performed on Sunday in Tampa Bay to move forward into a game against Seattle. Then you got to go to Green Bay. Then the next week you got to go to Buffalo. If they're going to play like this, it's hard to think they're going to do enough to secure a playoff spot.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing, is because they're in a position where, because they have played down to their opponents and they've lost four games and they're in the middle of the NFC West still and mm-hmm. trying to clam their way up, they are playing teams in front of them or near them. The Buccaneers, the Packers, the Seahawks, yeah, the Rams again, the Cardinals again, yeah, the Bears again. Like, mm-hmm. you're playing a lot of NFC wildcard opponents or divisional opponents that are in front of you, and this is a good opportunity for them to continue week by week to climb and at least knock someone ahead of them down a peg below them. Mm-hmm. And with what they've shown this year, there is no promise they win any game. And that is not how things should be. Like you said, I was in the same boat. Bye week, self-scouting, Bucks short rest, they're banged up, you're feeling good. Even if you don't put up 42, you can't put up 28, which mm-hmm. if Jake Moody hits three field goals, they do.
Sure.
But that isn't the point. The point is you can't be reliant on Jake Moody. And that's with him being healthy or not being healthy. Like, you have to score points in the red zone and in the end zone. So with what they have in front of them, you know, for Niner fans right now, while you want to be optimistic, you're almost begging and pleading for the team to actually show you something to be optimistic about. Like, is this win something you point to and say, well, it wasn't great, it wasn't pretty. Sometimes you have to win ugly in the NFL, and that's true, but mm-hmm. where's the silver lining here? The offense didn't play great until the very end of the game. Mm-hmm. The defense, I think the defense may have been a silver lining. The run defense wasn't great in that third quarter, but overall made a big stop at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the special teams is still a disaster. It really did. It gave the Buccaneers 7 points and cost you 9, so it's a 16-point swing. Like, that's how you lose games. And so I don't know what to take away and say, well, that's a promising sign. Maybe it's Deebo Samuel choking out or punching Taylor Pepper on the sideline. I don't want to see that, but that's where the season's at. The team is infighting now. That's how frustrating it is for them, because they know they're partially doing their job just enough to squeak by, and they keep punching themselves down a peg, and you can't keep doing that here.
Yep.
And so I just don't know, Kyle, where to look at and say, what is a positive from today? What is it, just the win? Like, what do I look towards and say, that's a good sign?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to think about that. One of the things that was not a positive from today was the special teams, and that's what Eric, who's here in the city, wants to talk about. Eric, what do you got on the 49ers special teams for us?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Well, I guess I wanted to ask it as a more kind of existential question as a reflection on Shanahan and some of his deficiencies as coaching and how the front office might address, like, exactly how much power they give him, because I say, like, Shanahan's probably lost, what, 10, 12 games over the 7 years he's been coached because of special teams? And, like, I thought we were headed for another one of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like he never invests really early on the offensive line. And last year we paid the price in the Super Bowl on that, on the missed block.
Mm-hmm.
And with special teams, I mean, we've had to have the worst special teams unit in the league over the past 5 years in totality.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously you're not going to fire Shanahan. He's one of the best coaches, and he's gotten us two Super Bowls and a whole bunch of NFC title games. But I just don't know how we address that, or the fact, like, I feel like you can't win the Super Bowl if you don't try and win. And I always feel like he's so afraid of getting doubled up before the half every single time that, like, why didn't we take a timeout before the 2-minute warning, where then we're rushing our offense, we can't get run in, maybe we get closer on the field goal attempt. I mean, it's just kind of these same rigidity issues, specifically also in special teams, that I'm just wondering what you guys think the team can do to address that, because it just seems like it's a management issue more than just like an X's and O's coach. I mean, maybe you guys disagree, but I'd love your opinion offline.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, Sterling, I don't know where you land on this. I'm trying to kind of gather everything Eric had there. Basically saying there's general mismanagement of the roster by Shanahan.
Yeah.
Look, here's the reality of it. I don't necessarily disagree with everything Eric said there at all. We could do a four-hour show on roster building, pros and cons, and all that.
Right.
For me, and then I'll let you jump in here. But for me, it's one of those things that he's been asked about Brian Schneider, the special teams coordinator. It's really clear that his philosophy is they just don't want to mess up on special teams. And he doesn't view enough of their mistakes as coaching errors that he's going to go try and make a midseason change, or he doesn't think a midseason change would be beneficial. And whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But the day Shanahan doesn't have control over the things he has control over is the day he gets fired.
Yeah.
That's just kind of it.
Yeah, he is the hand and mouth of the entire organization, right? He controls everything, basically, right? He has final say over things, for the most part. You know, him and John Lynch want to pitch. They have this great chemistry, and I'm sure they do. They obviously have constructed one of the best rosters in football. But in regards to special teams and whatnot, yeah, Shanahan would like to have the 20th ranked unit that can catch punts and fair catches, and you don't have to worry about fumbles and whatnot. But if you're not going to fire Brian Schneider during the bye week, he's here all year, folks. He's going nowhere. If you're not going to watch Anders Carlson, although he missed some kicks, nail a lot of his 50-plus yard kicks while he was here, and not think about, well, maybe we give Jake Moody an extra week, right? And you look at the decisions they've made, yeah, Shanahan, I think in a large part, believes that if he can get the defense playing well, with Nick Sorensen leading the charge, and the offense can score some points, he never has to worry about field goals and or punts or kick returns. It's a non-factor for him. Well. And but like now, because those units aren't executing, they're a major factor in the outcome of games.
Yeah.
And I think for Kyle, his main focus isn't even looking at special teams. In his mind, he's thinking, if I can fix the offense, I never have to worry about it. Exactly. If we're scoring 7 points and they're scoring 3 points, great. Mm-hmm. I'll take it all day.
Yep.
And most teams would. Mm-hmm. But when you're not scoring points and you aren't executing and you can't get in the end zone and then you're also missing field goals and you're muffing punts, feels like every single week, well, then you should take a longer look at things. I was so happy, and I hated it, but I was happy to watch Kyle Shanahan physically start yelling and screaming because Jake Moody missed that second field goal. It was like, finally, like, this. Where's the emotion been about this? Like, he's not been great for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Can you, the fans are fired up because they see this team has the potential to be phenomenal, great, and win it all.
Mm-hmm.
But the execution has been so poor, it has put you at 5-4, mediocre, and you're being dragged down by poor execution.
Yep.
And if you have a competent kicker, or whether it's a special teams coach, or a better punt returner, whatever it may be, you win more games. You will not cost yourself more games. It's not going to be an Achilles heel. It'll just be there to be, okay, safety net. Like, this, oddly enough, they poured more money recently into special teams, yet they were a better unit with Richie James back there fielding kicks and punts. And he was a non-factor every single time. But he just caught the football and got off the field. Just do that from now on. It'll help you a lot more.
That's it. All right. Will is in Berkeley. Dave's in South San Francisco. I see you guys.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hang in there. We definitely want to hear from you, and we want to hear from you all out there. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is Overtime. We're talking Niners win over the Buccaneers 23-20 here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you here on 95.7 The Game, taking you up to Warriors Live at 3 o'clock. And then Mark Grandy will take you up to the 4 o'clock tip-off between the Warriors and Thunder out in Oklahoma City. But before we get to that, we got to sift through, the 49ers won today, Sterling. They beat the Buccaneers 23-20. And because of the expectations that this team has, everything they do is based on, did this get them closer to a Super Bowl? And they needed to win today, just from a pure standing standpoint. They're 4-4, falling to 4-5 in an NFC where the current 7 seed is the Packers, who are a pretty good team, and they're at 6-3. Falling to 4-5 would have been a disaster. So getting to 5-4 is good. Okay, they're there, and they'll move on to next week and basically play what amounts to another playoff game next week against Seattle. But on the other hand, from a is this team in Super Bowl contention standpoint, it's really hard to go through today's game, a 23-20 win in Tampa Bay, and go, okay, yeah, they're closer now than they were this time 2 weeks ago. I don't think they are. And that's why this is frustrating. That's why it feels like today was a loss, even though they won.
Well, do you feel better after beating the Dallas Cowboys in prime time than you do today? They're both wins, but...
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
No, like, they're both wins, uh-huh. Right? You get to 500, now you're above 500. They were both down to the wire. I mean, this one a lot more closer than that one was 2 weeks ago against the Cowboys. But does the win against the Cowboys or the win against the Buccaneers prove anything different? I don't think so.
Mm.
You beat a bad Dallas Cowboys team that was hindered by injuries. You beat arguably a more banged-up Buccaneers team, playing better football, mind you, but like... Does this win, like you said, get you closer to a Super Bowl? Technically, standings-wise, record-wise, yeah. But, like, optics, how it looks, the more you believe. Like, does a win like this make you believe in this team more, even at that they won?
No. And honestly, some of the shine of the Cowboys win has come off over the last week or so.
Right.
Like, they went out and got smacked up in their next game. It's like, oh, the Cowboys just aren't good.
It was
a great win by the 49ers. The Cowboys just stink. So even that, like, what I'm still waiting. This is what I'm waiting for. And we'll get to your calls. Dave in South San Francisco, we'll get to you here in a second. 888-957-9570. Would love to have you join the program. The problem to me is we're 10 weeks in, and you said it earlier. I think you hit the nail on the head. This is, at 10 weeks, you kind of are what you're going to be. And we've yet to see this team. What is their signature win of the year? What's the win where you went, yes, hell yes?
Patriots game. That's not saying anything.
They've beaten the New York Jets. The Jets game after week one, when they beat the heck out of the Jets. You went, wow, okay, you feel great about this. They score 32 points, they kick a bunch of field goals, but that didn't seem like a big deal at the time because Christian McCaffrey was out on short notice, and okay, they're going to be... So that was a win where you left feeling really good. But since then, there are four other wins. The win in Seattle on Thursday night, road win against a division opponent, that is a quality win, but hey, you know what? That one got really dicey. The Cowboys game. You're smoking the Cowboys, and then at the end of the game, that one got a little bit dicey. And then the Patriots stink. And then today, this version of the Buccaneers, as banged up as they were going into the game, you said it, they lost Tristan Wirfs during the game. Baker Mayfield couldn't throw the ball down the field because of his toe. At least that was my takeaway from how they were running their offense. I don't think it was some fear of the 49ers pass rush as much as it was, hey, you got a quarterback that like it hurts him to throw it more than 10 yards down the field.
Yeah.
And the 49ers just didn't really have an answer there in the second half. And I don't know, man. Like, good to get a win, but I wouldn't call this a good win. And I think that's why it's hard to sit here and be like, all right, yeah, great job by the Niners. They moved to 5-4, and they keep pace in the NFC West, and they move the Buccaneers behind them in the wild card chase. Okay. Like, that's all fine, but are they better than the Lions? Are they better than the Packers or the Vikings? I'm just naming it NFC North teams.
Are they better than the Cardinals? Is my question.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know.
Division. I don't either. Like, on paper, they should be.
You should. they haven't been all year.
here's the thing that jumped out to me today. I was shocked, and the Niners still like this is. This is why I'm concerned more than anything. Because early in the year, when they had numbers like they did today, 23 points, 5 of 11 on third down, 1 of 3 in the red zone, 413 total yards, and 6.8 yards per play, which is a stellar number. 6.8 yards per play is outstanding.
And that's a common one for this team.
Yeah, it's about where they sit. Like, they are awesome at that. And yet, we still sit here. Through the first 8 games, we would go, well, when Christian McCaffrey comes back, just wait. Offense is efficient. Wait till Christian McCaffrey comes back. They'll start scoring touchdowns again. And today, scoring touchdowns was a problem yet again.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's, we had a caller earlier talk about the offensive line and their lack of investment there. Maybe it's the offensive line. Maybe it's not having Brandon Ayuk. I don't 100% know what it is, but there's something that is fundamentally wrong with the 49ers right now that is going to hold them back until they fix it.
Well, then you have to ask yourself, if the fans are sitting here saying, okay, let's wait till Christian McCaffrey comes back, and I guarantee you the team's feeling the same way, the entire conversation this week was the vibes are great. Oh, man. Feeling good, feeling positive. Even Deebo Samuel's talking to the media, talking about, well, Jennings is back and CMC's back. We're all turned up. Mm-hmm. You're turned up for 23 points in Florida off a bye week? Hell, I'm turned down, brother. This game should be a heck of a lot better than it was. The team, I have to ask, like, and maybe it's out of pocket of me to ask this, but it's like, as fans, we continue to hope and believe they'll eventually return to form like last season. But at what point does the team accept their own fate and go, you know what? We're not that team. We have to win a different way this year, even with Christian McCaffrey. Winning without him differently, okay, that's behind you now for what it seems to be the case if he can maintain his health the rest of the season. Now you have almost the exact same roster, minus Brandon Ayuk's last season on offense. You have an improved pass protection. Dominic Pooney's been great. Your offensive line ranks higher than it did last year. Like, okay, so if you're protecting the quarterback better, and now CMC's back in the fray, and you continue to have these games like this where you eke out against the Buccaneers, say the game against the Seahawks is close again like it was a few weeks back, then it's Green Bay on the road. Even if you win that game, albeit we may say, wow, what a great win, if it's a 23-20, it's a, you know, you're trading punches back and forth, and it's just a grueling snow or rainy day in Green Bay in the winter, like, at what point does a team say, maybe we're just not as great as we were last year?
So,
like, do we have to embrace a different style of winning?
Yeah, I think if they didn't do that over the bye week,
right?
Like, that's a problem, because that's something we've been talking about for 5 weeks now. Like, yeah. Maybe when this team wins now, it's just going to look different than it did, and maybe that's something that they've yet to come to terms with. But I think their lack of action at the trade deadline is a little bit of an admission that, hey, maybe this year isn't going to go as well as they hoped. And they've got, okay, an eye on this year, because maybe McCaffrey and Jennings coming back and Yeter Gross-Matos coming back helps the defensive line, and they fall backwards into a run because they're scoring 30-plus a game and their defense is giving up 23 a game, but they're just able to win in shootouts and they make a run. Maybe. But I think they're also got they've also got an eye toward the future because they realize kind of what you're saying now. They want to win a certain way, and they can't with the roster they have.
Yeah.
And I think that they're focused on this year. They're trying to win this year. It's not that they're tanking or they're punting on the season. But I do think that their lack of movement at the deadline, because they've always been really aggressive, and Kyle Shanahan saying, we didn't think there was a move out there that was worth the risk of moving on from, you know, a second or third round pick like we've seen him do in the past. That to me says, oh, they think they need those picks because yeah. They're worried about what this team's going to look like 5, 6, 7 years down the road instead of sending a second for Azeez Ojulari, right? The defensive end from the Giants or whoever, like pick your favorite edge rusher who is available. Like, I think that was a little bit their thought process because, man, they're not there this year. And that's a little scary.
Which, that's okay. If you want to keep your picks, realizing you have the oldest starting lineup in football,
sure.
Okay, you know, we have to retool eventually, and we're going to lose some players this year, and that's okay. Every team does that eventually, right? But you look at the teams that have won multiple Super Bowls the last few years, the Chiefs, they're not winning the same way they were.
Not even close.
Even last year. Now, they may have tried to with Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and try to get more explosive, but things didn't work out yet. They invested so much into that defense. Spags is a great defensive coordinator. They're winning on game-winning field goals and saying, you know what, we're fine being 9-0. We know we can win like this with a stout run defense and kind of a mediocre passing game. They run the football well. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing everything Kyle Shanahan and the Niners used to do.
Yes.
And the Niners pivoted to what the Chiefs were doing, and now it's not working.
Except I think you hit the nail on the head. The Chiefs did that deliberately. The 49ers are accidentally doing what the Chiefs
did. Right.
Didn't
right.
mean to do it.
This was not their choice.
Real quick, did you see how the Chiefs won today?
All I saw was the game-winning field goal. Or the block kick. The block kick.
They blocked a short field goal that would have been for the win by Denver. Ridiculous. They're already
funny.
Really good.
Special teams wins and loses your games. Who would have thought, Kyle Shanahan?
They're already loaded, and then they're getting stuff like field goal blocks to win games. It's ridiculous. Speaking of special teams, let's get to Dave in South San Francisco because I don't think, are devoting enough time to today's hero / GOAT. GOAT, not the greatest of all time since. GOAT in the nearly the reason they lost the game since Jake Moody. Dave in South San Francisco, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going? Well, I'm glad they won. However, a couple points I wanted to bring up. Number one, Moody probably kept his job because of that game-winning field goal.
Yep.
But that shouldn't be the standard. He should have made all of them. That should be the goal. So I have some serious issues with the kicking department. Although I'm glad he's doing better with that last kick. The other point was a lot of penalties in the fourth quarter. It's almost like the Niners could easily cruise to a win like last year, same style with Kittle and Purdy and everybody. But the thing is like they lose the game on their own accord from all these face mask penalties and stuff in critical plays. Can't they have like a team meeting and like really reinforce that to the players? It's just sad to watch them lose like 15 yards, 15 yards, 15 yards when they don't really need to do that. Anyway, that's all sure. I wanted to say.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call, Dave. I'm guessing that's the kind of stuff they go over in meetings pretty consistently.
Right.
But I don't, it's a weird thing because when you ask players about this, I talked to Kyle Juszczyk and I asked him like, hey, how do you figure out the red zone stuff? Like, do you put extra time into it? And he more or less was like, there's not enough time in a week to devote extra time to things. So you just put your normal work in and execute. And that was like his answer. And so when it comes to, you know, things like penalties or executing in certain areas of the field or whatever it is, it's not like they're going to go the defensive line or wide receivers or whatever position group aren't going to huddle up and be like, all right, guys, here's what we got to focus on this week. I think it's just something that everybody inherently knows when they're going about their business. Does that make sense?
you've been playing football long enough to know not to grab a face mask. Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't need to be said. You know, like everybody just kind of know that was that to me that last drive by the defense was just like a series of mistakes that I think happened throughout the course of a game and throughout the course of a season. They just happened to have them all stack up on the same drive
back to back
in
to
the
back
most
plays
crucial
too.
Drive of the game.
Like literally. Warner gets the face mask 15 yards, roughing the passer on Malik Collins, and then illegal use of hands on Evan Anderson on back-to-back-to-back plays.
Just brutal, dude.
Like, if those don't happen, we're talking about maybe this game being 20-20 and they don't make the field goal at all, mm-hmm. or 20-17. And again, those mistakes are made, and that's not where you want to be at all. Like, the Niners aren't being like, we have to teach these guys not to do penalties. No, these are veteran players.
Right.
But no, I know what not to do out there. It's not a technique thing, and it's not, mm-hmm. not even a coaching thing, really. But it really is just you have three back-to-back plays that hurt you, and each player has their head down like, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, and I think there are things that they'll go over in on tape. You know, if there's maybe Jacob Cowing, there's something he can do different on the punt he muffed. Maybe recognize that your guy's getting blocked into you and you move. Or maybe blocker has to go to a different spot on the field. I don't know that, but those are things they go over in film. It's not like they're gonna, like I said, gather around and talk about not committing penalties.
Here's the penalty meeting today this week, guys.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen.
I'm guessing now if they have a certain just to the caller's point, if they have a certain officiating crew that
sure.
maybe calls an outsized number of illegal hands in the face penalties, then maybe they say, hey, watch that this week. But it's not, you know, I don't. It was a mistakes that happened, just they happened to have been consecutively. The bigger problem for me on that last drive was get Baker Mayfield on the ground.
Yeah,
anyone?
They tried. They almost did.
The entire game, they can't get pressure because they couldn't get the Buccaneers into a third and long. And lo and behold, they get him into a third and long late in the game, and Nick Bosa comes up with a sack. Like, wow, look at that. Justin School can't block him for more than a second and a half, right?
Who'd have thought?
So they finally get him into a position where they have to, like, drop back pass, and the Niners start getting pressure. It's just like you said, they had the high hit by Malik Collins. They've got the face mask on Fred Warner. They had the unbelievable play from Baker Mayfield where he completed a pass while stiff-arming Nick Bosa. Like, what's Bosa doing there? Just holding his arm.
Apparently he said he didn't want to get a horse collar, which, okay.
I guess.
I get the NFL is harsh on defenders and trying to get the quarterback down to the ground, but just yank his arm down. You're not even near his horse collar. like, we watched this
insane
team, whether it was on purpose or not, against Chiefs and Mahomes when he had that amazing scramble towards the sideline. Didn't want to get called for a roughing play because he was going to go out of bounds and then didn't and got like 15 more yards. If you're playing scared in the NFL defensively, and I get it, it's hard to because the NFL has so many rules that restricts what a defensive player can do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing scared, you're not playing freely and you're not going to do your job correctly.
Yeah.
And look, it's so much easier for me or you to criticize Nick Bosa, who's having a great season by all accounts, but he walked into this game knowing I got Tristan Wirfs and company. They're probably going to do screen passes and quick stuff. I need to make my presence known. And he was relatively bad in the run game in that third quarter.
Yep.
He was missing tackles left and right. He wasn't securing edges.
Yep.
And then he gets the big sack. You're feeling great. Okay, cool. They have some life again. And they did for that short bit of time. But on 4th and 7, get him on the line. You're there. Even if you get called for the penalty, just sack him anyways.
Yep.
Whatever. Like, make the refs have to make that judgment call. And if they screw you, then you have a grievance later about it.
Yes.
Okay, fine. But I did my job. I brought him down. Every other elite player would do that.
Yep.
Watt, Garrett, doesn't matter. Just sack the quarterback and let the refs do their thing.
Yes. I'm right there with you, man. And like you said, easier said than done. But at the same time, I don't want... This is the same problem when on the Patrick Mahomes run down the sideline and they were talking about, oh, they thought he was going to go out of bounds and they didn't want to hit him. Like, so what? Like, you can't be thinking about not drawing penalties to me.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to go out and play. That's kind of where it lands for me.
Which is so funny because Jimmy Ward, who I know isn't here anymore, in the Super Bowl, laid it on Mahomes at the goal line and said, I don't care. call a penalty. What do I have to lose?
Yep.
Like, I'm going to make sure I get a free shot of the quarterback as a runner. I'm taking a shot.
Yep.
You might as well. Don't hurt the guy, but you want to lay some wood on a dude, do it then. That's a free chance. If they get a penalty, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Play fast, man. That's it.
Yeah. Swarm.
Yep.
Right?
That's
Swarm.
It. That's it. All right. Miles in Fort Mason wants to talk about the special teams units. Plenty to talk about there today. The 49ers, three missed field goals, a muffed punt. Miles, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, as we said, this is a multiple-year deficiency within our special teams department. And I think it's very arrogant of Kyle to say, oh, you know, I don't like watching special teams film prior to the draft. Hopefully I won't have to do it. But then also to take Moody 99th overall as if such a high position. And then I thought, you know, the recent weeks are a good example as to when he gets hurt. We signed multiple dudes who came in off the street, were knocking down field goals for us, no problem. And so, you know, just the mismatch of priority, not a priority, you know, and now you get Tabor Pepper and Debo shoving each other on the sideline. This is embarrassing, bro.
Yes.
Like, you know, just not looking good on the entire team. You know, it should have been a 12-point margin as it was. And I think outside of special teams, I think play calling, again, a little vanilla. You know, I know Brock had great numbers today, but I thought a lot of his numbers were kind of padded by, what, about 10 checkdowns? You know, to CMC and other guys to where, you know, just would have liked to seen a little, you know, more farther downfield development. So I'll take the win. Don't get me wrong, but it feels more like a loss.
Yeah,
you know, honestly.
Yeah, it's a little bit the vibe today. Thanks for the call, Miles. I'm going to push back a little bit on the Brock Purdy thing. I thought he did a really nice job of managing the game today, which is something he hadn't been doing. I thought... Yeah. Early in this season, he got into some trouble by too often trying to throw the ball deep and trying to push the ball down the field. I thought we saw him push the ball down the field several times today, but when there was nothing there, it was the check down to McCaffrey. And that's living to fight another down, turning a second and long into a third and manageable just based on a check down instead of getting the entire second and long all at once. Like, that's good quarterbacking. If there's throws open down the field, please take them, like, by all means. But when there's nothing open down the field, there's no problem for me with taking the easy throw, taking the easy yards. I don't have a problem with how he played in that area at all.
Well, that's exactly what you wanted with CMC back.
Yeah.
You wanted to get Brock more comfortable on second and long, first and long, and just, okay, give CMC the football and turn what is now a 2-10 into a 3rd-and-4. That's okay. Like, any quarterback would take that. Mahomes does that every single week, and that's okay. That was the whole purpose of getting Christian McCaffrey back in here.
Yep.
And, like, yeah, Brock missed some throws for sure. He had Juszczyk wide open for a play, but maybe the pocket wasn't there for him. And you know, there were some plays early in that first quarter, which, okay, again, maybe that's Russ and whatnot. Purdy missed some throws for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the throws he hit were inaccurate throws that were still caught by his receivers. But I'm not going to have an issue with Christian McCaffrey being a check down, you know, merchant, if you will. That's okay.
That's
what we
game.
Want from him. Like, that's what he's there for. He's the running back check down option for the offense. But it is funny that, you know, the Niners really banked on Moody being the replacement for arguably one of the best kickers in NFL history, and Robbie Gould.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not going to wear a gold jacket, but the last 20 years, he's been amazing come playoff time and in clutch time. But I don't know if you saw what Kyle Shanahan said today in postgame, but he said, you're only as good as your last kick. And you're right, you won the game, but I think everyone's like thought is, well, you wouldn't have needed that last kick had you made the previous three.
Yeah.
And if you got a guy to make the last three, we're not even talking about, oh, they eke this one out. It's like, yeah, the Buccaneers had a last-minute push and couldn't score in the end zone.
Yeah, you're only as good as your last. So I would love to know. I would love to give Kyle Shanahan some truth serum and get his 100% honest answer on this. But did he feel good about sending out Jake Moody for the game winner? Because if he didn't,
he shouldn't have.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, if he sent him out there like, hey, we have to do this, but let's get ready for overtime. Like, that's an issue. And look, I want to hear from Nathan. I want to hear from Word. I see you guys on the line. We're gonna have to step aside here shortly. So hang in there, please. Definitely want to hear from you. And of course, anybody else, 888-957-9570. We're taking your calls, up to 3 o'clock. Then we'll hand it off to, Mark Grandy with Warriors Live, and he'll take you up to tip off from Oklahoma City, where the Warriors will play the Oklahoma City Thunder. The problem for me is, I don't think Jake Moody sucks. Like, I don't think he's a bad player, just from a pure statistical standpoint, right? Like, it's not. But on the other hand, A, you don't feel good when he goes out to kick. B, the 99th pick thing matters here.
Yeah.
The fact that they signed, like the caller just said, Anders Carlson and Matthew Wright off the street, they go 8 for 8 on field goals. Not that I think those guys are necessarily better than Jake Moody over a 17-game sample. Like, we saw Anders Carlson miss an extra point. Like, it happens. Those guys are on the street for a reason. But the fact that you had two guys who were just chilling on their couch come in and go 8 for 8 on field goals leads me to believe that you can probably find a good kicker without using a top 100 pick on one. You know what I'm saying?
Brandon Aubrey in Dallas.
He was the best kicker in the league. He was playing soccer in Canada or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
I think he was in the CFL. Is that right? He was playing somewhere professionally, but he wasn't in the NFL. He just signed him as a free agent. So that's my problem with Jake with the whole Jake Moody thing.
Well, and Moody was, what, the third highest kicker drafted since 2004. It was like Mike Nugent and Robert Aguayo. And Nugent was playing for a decade plus in the NFL with the Bengals and plus teams, but Robert Aguayo was a disaster in Tampa Bay.
A total mess.
Like, not that Jake Moody's Robert Aguayo, but you have to ask yourself, is this team better with or without Jake Moody taking kicks?
Sure.
And arguably, they're a lot better when he's not taking kicks.
Yep.
And that's the third round pick. Like, it just makes you shake your head and say, like, what are we doing sometimes with Kyle Shanahan?
You're only as good as your last kick, unless you miss 3 in 1 game, in which case I'm going to worry about the 3 that got missed. All right, Sushi Steve, Nathan, I see you guys. We'll hear from them next. And, of course, we'll hear from anybody else who wants to tap in. 888-957-9570. This is Overtime. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.